Everywhere you look these days, it seems, people both famous and otherwise, wanting to be famous, are inviting film crews into their personal lives, foolishly laying themselves bare, open for all to see some of the most intimate periods of their life, seeing what they are like behind closed doors. I don't know when it started, this what's called voyeuristic way of viewing entertainment, to want to look at people's lives so closely. But I do know that there was a program that started in the 1960s, I think it was the mid-1960s, called 7-Up in this country. And you may well have seen repeats of this program over the years. And this program called 7-Up took a group of 7-year-old kids from various places in this country and interviewed them in the school setting and asked them various questions, and they were girls and boys, and they would have different viewpoints upon the way they saw their life going and the things they liked, the things they didn't like. And indeed, they would film them every 7 years. And so they would then film them when they were 14 years of age, and then 21, and so on. And about 20 years ago, there was also a reality show, so-called, in Australia. You may have heard of the program Sylvania Waters, where a dysfunctional family in Australia were followed around in everything they did, all the arguments and the fighting and the laughter and the tears was closely scrutinised by TV. And of course, since then there have been the Osbournes, Big Brother, not to mention Louis Theroux's Weird World. Even the royals and presidents and prime ministers have got in on the act, seeking to make themselves accessible to the masses by showing that they are normal. I was drawn to bring this message to you today, actually by a short talk that I gave to the kids club on Tuesday. And it drew my attention so much that I felt that it was right for this morning. And it basically entails this question, this simple question. It's a simple question, and yet it's a profound and most important question. You get this question right, it does you more good than any GCSE, entrance exam to a grammar school, A levels, A pluses, PhDs, City and Guilds, anything. And the question is this: do you know God? Do you know God? Some people think that when that question is asked, it means, have you heard of God? Do you know about God? Do you know the details? Do you know the Word of God? They think it means, do you believe in God? But of course, the Word of God tells us quite clearly, you believe in God, even the demons believe. and tremble. But this question means far more than all those things. Do you know God means just that? Do you know Him? Are you not just acquainted with Him, but are you intimately in relationship to Him? There is a difference. And it is perhaps the most important question you can ever ask yourself, because the answer tells you whether or not you have eternal life. And so, a hope for eternity in heaven. You see, we're encouraged by so many people, families and friends, to plan for a future that doesn't exist. To look to a future that actually is passing away. When the only thing which does not end is eternity, by nature itself. And so we are all passing into an eternity, each one. And so we need to be assured of our destination in that eternity. And so, do you have this hope for eternity in heaven? It's a hope that isn't just a hope, a hoping and longing that it's true, but a sure and certain hope that the scriptures call it. Do you? Do you know this hope? How can you be sure? How can you be assured and certain of it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ makes plain the reality of knowing God. Turn with me, please, to John's Gospel and chapter 17. We remind ourselves that here in John chapter 17, and listen carefully, here in John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 5 or Matthew chapter 6 is not the Lord's Prayer. Look in your Bible and you will see it does not say that. It's a pattern for prayer. There's no such thing as the Lord's Prayer that we parrot fashion repeat. But here is a personal prayer. There is the only prayer that is called the Lord's Prayer. Specific. We might think also of that in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord prayed, and we have the detail of His prayer. But here is the most important high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of His people to His Father. And we see here from verse 1, these words spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. You see, it is possible to come to know so much about any individual. It is possible to come to know much about any individual. Hearing information of their character, seeing photos or film of them, even hearing their voice. Yet to not know them. You see, we would not have any problem with the statement that would say that just because someone has met a member of our family, that they don't really know them. They're not intimately acquainted with them. They don't really know them. And yet so many people think because they have had some kind of experience, some religious experience, or even been present in the presence of where God's people are, that they know this God. You can speak on the phone or via webcam today, for even to see someone who is speaking to you. But you can remain a stranger to them. Listen. Listen most carefully. You can even meet someone and still not really know them. My mother-in-law is so proud of the fact that she met briefly, for a couple of seconds, the Queen of England. But she would never, ever dare to say that she knows her and calls her Elizabeth. Would she? You can be in the very presence of Almighty God when His word is being proclaimed, even now, and not know Him. In fact, Almighty God came in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. He came and walked this earth. The light was shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The world was made through Him, and the world knew Him not. He came to His own, and His own people He was born into received Him not. They saw Him, they spoke with Him, they blasphemed Him. They knew Him not. Experience is not enough. And so then, firstly, today we see that God makes Himself known. And it is God alone who makes Himself known. It's been well said that when people who perhaps are shy or had a bad experience in the past, they quite often keep a barrier up, and only when they truly get to know someone, or someone truly is brought to know them, only when they are comfortable with them do they let that barrier down and show the real them. God makes Himself known. We cannot seek after God of ourselves. In fact, we never will. But God makes himself known to a certain group of people. It is clear from the words of the Saviour here in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. The Lord Jesus shows us what it means to have eternal life. It is, sorry, the only way to have true life is to know the giver of life. When he prayed to God the Father, Jesus showed that there are definitely a certain group, a definite group of people from humanity who God has granted, and note that, who God has granted the privilege of knowing him. See verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to everyone. To everyone who lives on this planet. Does it say that? As many as thou has given him. And they all will, this number, they all will know God. Without doubt. If you are to know God, it must be because he has permitted it. And it may well be the reason why you are here today. For God has permitted you to be here. There are many things that he could have allowed you to be doing today. And he has permitted you to be here under the sound of the preaching of his word. So don't cast it underfoot as something common, as something worthless. You've been permitted to be here. I don't know the reason why. The gospel does save, and it also does condemn. But I don't know why God has permitted you to be here to hear his word, to grasp hold of his word this morning. From the time after the fall of man into sin, man has always been dependent upon God acting first, upon God acting to reveal himself. And God did, and God continues to do. We see with Adam in Eden, Adam did not want God. Adam did not seek after God. We even saw this a few weeks ago. And the Lord called to the man. He called to the man. He revealed himself to the man. Abraham. The word of God appeared to Abraham in a vision. The Lord Jesus, the word of God, appeared to Abraham in a vision. Moses at the burning bush. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Moses was just seeking to lead the flock to the backside of the desert. God drew his attention by that bush that burned and was not consumed. Isaiah the prophet. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Although he did not actually, physically, completely see Almighty God in his glorious person, neither could he. Otherwise he would have been consumed. And which leads to the second thing that we must see here in the Saviour's words in John 17 about what it means to know God. For God is only made known to man one way. That's why I don't get many bookings to go into the schools anymore. Because they don't want to hear one way. But there is only one way. The gods of this world are but idols. There is only one way. God is only made known to man through the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's why he came, to live and to die as a substitute saviour, to live and to live that perfect life in a perfect obedience to that perfect holy law of God that has been broken by all, for all have sinned and come short of that law, come short of the glory of God. He came to live and to die as that perfect substitute saviour, bearing the punishment also for the broken law, death itself, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, that he might reveal God. Without Christ Jesus, no one, absolutely no one, can know God. God is the Holy One and unapproachable for sinful man. In light, inaccessible. If he should reveal himself in all his glory, we would surely be consumed. That's why foolish man, in his idolatrous so-called Christianity today, invents new ways of knowing God. Invents a different God, a people-friendly God. And there is no reverence for God, you see, with this God they have made up. But if he truly came in all his splendour, we would be consumed by his holiness. That's why there is a mediator. You see, God is the perfect, majestic one, who the scriptures tell us dwelleth in light unapproachable. And so no man can lay claim to seeing God with mortal eyes. No man. Moses veiled his face. The people of Israel were warned, do not even go to the foot of the mountain and touch it. No man can gaze upon the holiness of God. The Saviour says in John 1:18, the Apostle John says in John 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Lord Jesus did not just declare God to us though. He didn't just stand up and talk about God and say, this is the God I declare to you, you cannot know him, but this is who he is. What would be the point of that mission? What would be the point of him coming to tell the people what they already know, that they cannot approach God? He didn't just come to declare the nature of God. He didn't just come to declare who the God of all grace is by words only, but surely by actions as well. Which leads us to the third point. For God is made known through the saving redemptive work on the cross of Jesus Christ, most clearly. Not by some stupid idolatrous sign outside of a religious building. Not by some painting someone has dared to make of Almighty God. Not by some pathetic figure that they portray who still is on a cross. But that by the very work of that cross, by the very effectual work of that cross, God is made known. Here is how God's people are brought to know who He is. Who is He? God is love, the scriptures say. He is holy, but He is love also. He is a love which is not like our love. For His love is a love that changes not. He's a love that is indeed perfect. The God of perfection, who is immutable, meaning unchanging, unalterable, indestructible. So, because He is, His nature, love, is perfect, immutable, unchanging, unalterable, indestructible love for His elect children. It's an everlasting love. And so it had no beginning, and certainly cannot end. And so He is made known at Calvary. This eternal love displayed and declared for all to see on that cross of Calvary. That even a Roman idolatrous centurion, by the grace of Almighty God, when he has observed such things, was brought to declare, "This surely was the Son of God." It was displayed. The cross of shame and sacrifice and anguish, where God says to those the Lord Jesus died for, "The Lord have laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Here He is made known. Not completely inaccessible, but being brought near. Being brought near by the blood, says the scriptures. Making peace by the blood. The cross of Christ is the proof positive of God's grace and mercy upon ruined sinners, and indeed demands attention. Turn with me to Romans 5 and see what the Word of God tells us about His love displayed upon Calvary's cross, showing who He is and the attention we must give it. Complete and utter attention. Verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarce for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth. God says, behold. God says, look. God says, see. God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God for our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement. The sin has been atoned for. The sin payment, the punishment, the wrath has been satisfied, having been poured out upon the sinless Lamb of God. So how do you come to know that you have eternal life? To know the only true God? How do you come to be assured to know this? By your sin having been atoned for on the cross. But listen, and listen carefully, for you will hear perhaps falsehood on this in many evangelical churches today. By your sin having been atoned for on the cross. The Lord Jesus cried out his last, and cried out his last words, "It is finished." He has atoned for sin. He has made the payment for his people's sin. It's not dependent upon faith. But by faith, the knowledge of that redemption is made known. Not by faith does God atone. He cannot crucify the Lord of glory another time. It is not by anything you do, if it is by what has already been done. And so you must ask yourself this question. Is it? Is my sin atoned for? For sin is punishable by death. So the sins of God's people had to be punished by death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, says Romans 6. On the cross, as substitute Saviour, the Lord Jesus, the shepherd of the sheep, was smitten, was punished in their place, that the sheep, his elect, would receive the gift of God, eternal life. Don't lose that in that reading there. The wages of sin is death. Someone paid that wage for that eternal life gift to be given, and it was all in Christ Jesus. Because in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, the sinless Lamb of God was, by some amazing transaction, by some miraculous transaction of God, was made sin, and so was justly and rightly punished, because God's people in him were punished there as their substitute. We cannot understand these things fully, but if God be gracious, we believe. And so he was then rightly bearing the sins of his people. As the scriptures say, he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Being forsaken of God, yes, in hell itself. That's why there can be no condemnation to them that walk according to the Spirit, who are the people of God. For he has borne that condemnation already. The wage of sin has been paid in full. God demands nothing more now for the people of God. for their sin has been punished, atoned for. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because he condemned sin in his own body. Because the Saviour knew the agony and the anguish of having his Father turn away from him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yet cast from his presence as the scapegoat we read of in the book of Leviticus on that great day of atonement, prefigures Christ Jesus carrying his people's sins away, never to be seen anymore. As that scapegoat carrying away the sins of his people into the wilderness, never to return. These people he came to save will not be forsaken of God, but have eternal life, which is one and the same as to know God now. See, fourthly, God is only known through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice and atonement for sin. But not just by knowing about it, not just by knowing the gospel, not just by hearing the gospel. Something comes upon the child of God by hearing the gospel, though. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But only if the message of grace and mercy is known in reality by actually knowing the Saviour. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There are no shortcuts to God. We saw earlier in Romans 5 of the demonstration of God's love for his elect on the cross. But note verse 5. And here is the evidence to the child of God. To the child of God, not to anyone else. The evidence to themselves. It's not, does anyone else say, do you know God? Do you know God? Can you tell yourself that you know God? Here is the evidence. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. He's the witness. God has come. And you know it. There is an inner witness given to the people of God to be sure that they are indeed having eternal life and know God. Hebrews 10:15 says, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness to us. What? A witness. It is a witness to everyone outwardly. Is this a witness to say you have the Spirit of God? Is it a witness outwardly first? Is it a witness outwardly by some wonders performed, as some claim today they have the Spirit of God? For we know that the things, the wonders spoken of in the scriptures are counterfeited by the evil one. This witness within cannot be counterfeited. Are people identified as knowing God the Saviour because they appear to speak in tongues or perform healings or have some kind of a word of knowledge and so on? Is this the witness that you know God? By some show? No. For the Saviour himself told us that on the final judgment day, many, many, many will claim to know him on account of some outward signs and wonders that were seemingly performed through them. And what will he say to them? Depart from me, I never knew you. You may not, though, claim to perform signs and wonders, but you may say to the Lord Jesus, I came to a church service regular. I was committed to it. I read my Bible. I wasn't like everyone else. I was moral. Outwardly only, though. The same answer will come from the Saviour. So what is this witness that God the Holy Spirit brings? See the Word of God in Romans 8. Here is the clear witness to the people of God. They can be left in no doubt. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit also beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. How do you know that this witness, this proof of being a child of God, applies to you? How can you know? Well, there is a difference in you that you know. It may not always be seen outwardly, but you know it. You have a hating of sin. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Once again, this is not a religious jargon or some kind of a trinket to be put on the wall talking about people who generally mourn. It means nothing of the sort. He speaks not of human, normal human mourning, such as applies to all, but a mourning at sin and a being troubled by it, to cry out to God by Christ Jesus, to know you have cried out to God, even as that publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how you know. It is that you now believe on the Son of God. That's the witness. For once you rejected him, in the flesh you are like any other of humanity. For there is none who seeks after God. But when God comes to you, when God comes and reveals himself to you, when he comes to you, giving you the gift of faith, your enmity, your warring, your striving, your resisting against God ends with a sweet surrender. It ends with a sweet receiving of the Son of God by faith, as he is indeed an irresistible gift of God's grace and mercy. That's how you know. And so the Lord Jesus says to such, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth me, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, him receiveth him that sent me. For if you receive and believe the message preached, you are receiving Christ Jesus. And to believe him, You are receiving Christ Jesus, and to believe his word, you are coming to know God. Do you know God then? Do you know God? You have heard his, you may well have heard his voice today. He is here. He is here. Because there is two or more here that know God. And so he's promised to be here. He's here. You may have heard his voice today as his word is preached. But have you that witness within? Has that word entered within, bringing a new witness to you? The word of God speaks of a people brought to know him. What makes that difference? What brings you to irresistibly know God? The word of God tells us, the psalmist tells us, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You want God now because he has come to you and enabled you to. So believe on Christ now, and so know God. And what's more, eternal life is then yours right now. Right now. What else is the evidence of having come to know God? Unity within the church of God. But not some kind of a stupid unity, a soppy unity, a unity in truth. The Lord Jesus said also in John 17, 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, not just for these 12, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, as they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world are those in all the world, out of every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. Out of the world, God is calling a people, and they will know. They will know that God has sent Jesus. Who will be called of God and believe on the Saviour. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That is why we are not, if we are the people of God, we are commanded in the word of God to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to provoke one another unto good works. It is a love for the brethren that draws the child of God to meet with the people of God on the Lord's day. And are not taking that seriously displays no love for the brethren. What is your greatest demonstration of love for those who are fellow children of God that are yet to know that they are, that know it not yet, have not been brought to faith yet? Here is the greatest love you can show them. Take that message of Christ and him crucified to them, wherever you go, whoever you speak with, to be the people of God, demonstrating that you know God. The question is, do you know God? I pray that you'll be made to know this living God.